friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young, broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to the July 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with the world of football, where two South African soccer players and a team video analyst have become the first athletes to test positive for COVID-19 after arriving at the Tokyo Olympic Village. The South African Olympic Committee has said the rest of the squad and team officials are quarantined. The South African team is scheduled to face Japan in the men's soccer competition on Thursday at the Tokyo Stadium. South African rugby sevens coach Neil Powell also tested positive for the virus. The team says Powell tested positive at a pre-Olympics training camp in the southern Japanese city of Kagoshima and is expected to miss the rugby sevens competition since he's required to stay in isolation for 2 weeks. About 11,000 athletes and thousands more team officials have begun arriving at the Olympic Village, which is under tight restrictions to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Former Kenyan long-distance track and road runner Tekle Lorupe, who is also the chief of mission for the IOC's refugee Olympic team, has been reported to have tested positive for COVID-19. The two-time winner of the New York City Marathon and a force in the 10,000 meters during the late 90s is expected to stay behind as the team departs in the next few days for Tokyo. The Olympics are scheduled to officially open on Friday after being postponed for a year due to the pandemic, and will officially close on August 8th.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With only days before the start of this year's Tokyo Games, organizers have reported the first positive cases of COVID-19 at the Olympic Village. However, as VOA's Gwen Oten reports, the International Olympic Committee says it's moving ahead with what they believe will be a safe and secure summer games. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Prince Nesta. As you just said, over the weekend, two players on South Africa's Olympic football team became the first athletes to test positive while staying at the Olympic Village in Tokyo. The men had tested negative before departing South Africa. However, the positive test results were later confirmed. In all, four members of the South African Olympic delegation have tested positive for COVID-19 and are in self-isolation. At least 60 positive cases in connection with the Olympics have been confirmed since July 1st, adding to fears that the Games could become a super spreader event. On Saturday, Olympic organizers gathered for a news conference in Tokyo, where IOC President Thomas Bach expressed hope that once the Olympic Games get underway, the views of the general public will change.
We are very well aware of the skepticism, obviously, a number of people have here in Japan, and we learn this through the media, who is elaborating on this very diligently, and therefore, you know, my appeal to the Japanese people to welcome these athletes here for their competition of their life, and to acknowledge there it is not for any price that these athletes are coming here. they have the same interest like the Japanese people that these games are safe and secure.
And IOC Olympic Games Executive Director Christoph Dubé added that with health protocols strictly in place, the risk of transmitting the virus remains relatively low.
There is no such thing as zero risk, and that we all agree. At the same time, the mingling and crossing of population is incredibly limited. Incredibly limited. And we can ensure that transmission between the various groups is almost impossible. I'm qualifying almost.
COVID-19 vaccination rates are comparatively low in Japan, and the highly transmissible Delta variant forced the country into its fourth state of emergency, which will last throughout the games. In an effort to prevent a surge of infections, local and international fans will be barred from attending competitions. And Christoph Dubé emphasized that when a positive case is detected, immediate action will be taken.
When we have a positive case, it means action, immediate action. This is why we all have an activity plan. This is why there is a very tight procedure when it comes to close contact. One case means identifying immediately what needs to be done based on the various tools we have available. One case means immediate action to identify who was in contact with this person so that these people can then be also tested. So in other words, one case is not simply a data in a spreadsheet. It's action.
Organizers say 22,000 people from more than 200 countries have arrived in Tokyo. And many people in Japan are concerned that the influx of overseas travelers could trigger an outbreak in the general population. But Olympic Games Operations Director Pierre Ducret insists that with over 80% of athletes fully vaccinated, the Olympic population will be the most controlled in the world.
Screening program since 1st of July has already delivered more than 30,000 results. So that's how diligent we are in terms of monitoring the population which is here, and we'll continue to do so. And I think it's fair to say this is probably the most controlled population at this point in time anywhere in the world.
The Tokyo Olympic Games are set to start this Friday. However, the Women's Olympic Football Tournament will kick off ahead of opening ceremony on Wednesday. The men's tournament will begin the following day, and organizers say they have taken steps that could allow the men's South African football team to train ahead of their Thursday opening fixture. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Somalia is sending only two athletes to compete at the Tokyo Olympics, but they include the country's first ever non-track athlete, female boxer Ramla Ali. Somalia's Olympic Committee has welcomed her to the team, as Mohamed Kahir reports from Mogadishu.
Somali Olympic team officially departed for the Tokyo Games on Friday after President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo bid them farewell. The head of state and senior sport officials urged the team to compete successfully while proudly flying the Somali flag. Middle distance runner Ali Ido will compete in the 800 meters race. Following 2 years of intense training with professional athletes like Mo Farah of Britain and Ayanle Suleiman of Djibouti in the Ethiopian highlands, Ido says he is well prepared this time round and confident about his chances. He says, "We are more prepared for the Tokyo Games than we were for 2012 London Olympics and 2016 Rio Games." He added that he expects different positive results following professional training with some international athletes conducted outside the country. Ido will join in Tokyo the country's first Olympic female boxer, Ramla Ali. Mohamed Abdul Haji, the head of Somali Olympic Committee, says he's happy to see Ali qualify. He says the committee is attempting to train other athletes outside long-distance running, which is so popular in Horn of African nations. He said Somalia previously competed in only one category in the Olympics, which was long-distance running, but that's sending a middle-distance runner and a boxer to the 2020 Tokyo Games is a first step towards sending more athletes in various categories to feature Olympic Games. Sports Minister Hamza Said Hamza says the government is working to upgrade Somalia's athletic facilities. He says the Ministry of Sports and Youth will closely work with sports fraternity in the country in order to develop professional athletes by developing facilities such as stadiums for training to improve their results. Somalia has never won an Olympic medal in any sports. With better training, Ido and Ali hope to make the country proud in the games that kick off on Friday next week. Mohamed Kaye for VOA News in Mogadishu, Somalia.
Thanks, Mohamed. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Each year, the Nigerian Soccer League in the USA brings Africans living in the Washington metropolitan area together to play a sport they love. After more than 20 years, the league has become part of the social fabric. VOA's Azuma Compaore tells us more in this feature he filed from Baltimore, Maryland.
If there is one thing that can get Africans in the United States out of their homes on a sunny Sunday, it is probably to play soccer. Thanks to the Nigeria Soccer League, many members of the African diaspora in the United States have the opportunity to showcase their talents every weekend during the summer. According to the league officials, it all started in 1999 with just four Nigerian teams. 20 years later, the organization has gone global and the teams have more than doubled in size, expanding to the West and East African diaspora and the Caribbeans.
This year we have technically 11 teams playing, but 12 teams on the schedule. Out of the 11 teams, I believe 5 or 6 of them are home teams. These are the indigenous teams from NSL, and the other 6 are the invitationals, the likes of Senegal, DMV. You have Lusoli, which is Guinea. You have Opopo, which is Cameroon. You have Dibamu, which is Liberia. And then you have Chevrolet, which is more like, I call it OAU because everybody from Africa plays on Chevrolet.
Obi Ogbu has been the league's commissioner for 11 years. He says living in this country can be difficult at times, but the league helps by providing opportunities, community building, networking, and much more.
For those of us that are here, have now made here home. There's nothing more than seeing that melting pot of different cultures and traditions. America can be a beautiful place, but as we know, it's very difficult. And so this is like a way people connect and relieve the stress. In the DMV, besides going for social events, this is a social event that families can come to.
And even though everyone here leaves their titles and egos on the sidelines, for Ali Kaba, director of the DC Mayor's Office on African Affairs, it's a chance to combine business with pleasure.
This kind of tournament means a lot to me because we come together, members of all the African communities in the area, to share a moment together. We do what we have always done in Africa, play soccer. I grew up playing soccer, and I'm meeting up with friends from school here that I grew up with. It's an opportunity to share sports, but also to share information that can help people develop personally, economically, and socially.
The league's tournament can last anywhere from 3 to 3.5 months, after which comes the period leading up to the playoffs, which includes the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. Obi says that after 2 decades, it is time for the league to have its own community center.
What I aspire for as a commissioner is for us to get to the point where we have our own space, our own facility that owns a couple of soccer fields, maybe even basketball and volleyball, a community center that's big enough to house Africans. We are and should have a home for Africans where we go to and we have a total control of the league and all our activities.
For some, playing in the league helps keeping them healthy. For others, it is about proving who is the best.
NSL is not just about winning. It's all about the bragging rights. Many teams come out just to win, just to get that name, just to stand out as their number one. It's not about what they win as a prize, but just that bragging right. That's what it stands for.
Joga bonito, that means soccer made beautiful. And that's what we'd like to see here. Like, this is the preseason, games are still going on. When the playoffs comes,
you ought to be here. Game. This is where you say dog, what, dog eat dog. Yeah, mano. Everyone, the airports open, the players from all of us start coming in. And there's nothing more entertaining than that. There's been a battle of which country in Africa has the best players. Like you can see, Nigeria will say, I'm the one. Senegal will say, no, that was back in the 60s. Now we're the running the show. You have Guinea, Cameroon. So everyone here kind of represents different countries here.
Tonight, like every weekend this summer, the winners will celebrate their victories and the losers will reassess what went wrong. But regardless of the final score, what each player will cherish most is having proudly defended their team colors. Orzuma Kampaore, VOA News, Baltimore.
Thanks, Arzuma. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. Still on the African Beat, the Nigerian D Tigers basketball team stunning victories last week in friendly matches with the United States and Argentina has pushed it further into the Olympic spotlight. The Nigerians are the only African basketball team competing at the Tokyo Games. Despite some challenges, their performance last week has raised hopes among some supporters that they could take home a medal. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
The Tigers beat the United States NBA stars 90-87 on Saturday in Las Vegas, making international basketball history as the first African nation to beat the U.S. On Monday, the team topped it off by beating the world's fourth-ranked team, Argentina, by a score of 94-71. But the Nigerian team was later slammed by Australia 108-69. It was the team's first loss in the tune-up games for the Olympics. Despite that, Nigerian basketball fan David Moge says he's very optimistic about the team's performance at the games in Tokyo.
Well, I see them having a chance to do great things in the Olympics because they have a coach who has a lot of NBA experience and background, you know. So he will be bringing a lot of structure in terms of offensive plays, defensive plays, and keep the team going.
Nigeria is one of 12 teams that qualified for the Olympic tournament. The team is started with former NBA stars, including Gabe Vincent, Chikezie Okpala, and Precious Achiuwa of the Miami Heat. The squad is led by award-winning NBA coach Mike Brown. The secretary of the Abuja Basketball Club, Anthony Ekpenkyo, says the diaspora experience is an advantage for the Nigerian team.
We have players who will match them pound for pound, height for height. Okay, so I think that's great. We took our time to select some of our tallest and best players.
Nigeria's the Tigers must do well in competition against Australia, Germany and Italy to reach the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, a Nigerian Olympic delegate in their 60s was hospitalized Thursday in Tokyo after testing positive for COVID-19. The coronavirus has infected many athletes and delegates, and experts warn that the situation could worsen. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Timothy. I'm Prince Nessa, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists,
New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. U.S. tennis star Coco Gauff is set to miss the Tokyo Olympics after announcing on Twitter that she had tested positive for the coronavirus. The 17-year-old, currently ranked 25th in the world, tweeted, and I quote, "I am so disappointed to share the news that I have tested positive for COVID and won't be able to play in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. It has always been a dream of mine to represent the USA at the Olympics, and I hope there will be many more chances for me to make this come true in the future. I want to wish Team USA best of luck and a safe games for every Olympian and the entire Olympic family." The U.S. Tennis Association also responded to Gauff's announcements through a statement that read, and I quote, "We were saddened to learn that Coco Gauff has tested positive for COVID-19 and will therefore be unable to participate in the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. The entire USA Tennis Olympic contingent is heartbroken for Coco. We wish her the best as she deals with this unfortunate situation and hope to see her back on the court very soon." End of quote. Jennifer Brady, Jessica Pegula, and Alison Risky will now represent the U.S. in women's singles.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With Euro 2020 having concluded recently, attention has now fully shifted to the summer transfer window, with Arsenal agreeing a deal in principle for the $68 million transfer of Brighton and Hove Albion defender Ben White. The 23-year-old English footballer will reportedly sign a 5-year deal to become a Gunner, subject to a medical. White was a late call-up to Gareth Southgate's England Euro 2020 squad and looks set to replace Brazil defender David Luiz, who parted ways with the club after his contract expired. The Gunners have also secured the services of Portuguese defender of Cape Verdean descent Nuno Tavares from Benfica. AC Milan have also completed the signing of former Arsenal danger man Olivier Giroud from Chelsea. The 34-year-old French international thanked Chelsea on his Twitter platform, writing, and I quote, "To all the Blues, to my teammates, to all my coaches, to the whole club, a huge thank you for the special moments. I'm starting a new journey with a light and a happy heart. Our victories in FA Cup, EuroLeague, and Champions League have been magnificent." End of quote. The World Cup winner with France in 2018 scored 39 goals in 119 appearances for the Blues and only made a start in 8 Premier League games for the club last season. German forward of Nigerian descent Lucas Mecha has also joined Bundesliga side Wolfsburg after having an impressive season on loan at Belgium side Anderlecht. The 22-year-old scored 21 goals in 41 appearances and featured for the Citizens only twice in the Premier League and the Carabao Cup.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi and Barcelona have reached an agreement that would keep the Argentina captain at the Spanish club through the end of its playing career. Multiple sources have revealed that the 34-year-old has accepted a 5-year contract at 50% of his previous salary. Messi had been a free agent after his contract expired and had been linked to the move to Paris Saint-Germain in Manchester City. He first joined Barca's academy in the year 2000 and is currently the club's record goal scorer with 672 goals and has won 4 Champions Leagues, 10 La Liga titles and 7 Copa del Reys, while also winning the Ballon d'Or a record 6 times. Brazilian attacking midfielder Felipe Anderson has also rejoined Lazio from West Ham on a permanent deal. Leicester City have also signed English left-back of Egyptian descent Ryan Bertrand from Southampton on a free transfer, a move that keeps him at the King Power Stadium until 2023. Wolves shortstopper Rui Patricio has also completed a move to Italian giants AS Roma, becoming Jose Mourinho's first signing as Roma boss. Meanwhile, former Netherlands international Arjen Robben has officially retired from football. The 37-year-old won 2 Premier League titles, 2 League Cups and an FA Cup with Chelsea, and also played for PSV Eindhoven, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. The Dutch winger also won 96 caps for his country, scoring 37 goals in return.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
In cycling, Slovenia's Tadej Pogacar became the youngest rider to win back-to-back Tour de France titles on Sunday. The 22-year-old Slovenian won his debut tour last year, beat his rivals in the Alps with a long-range attack on stage 8.
Yeah, I cannot describe how happy I am to be part of this family. It just melts my heart. They were with me every day for all year preparing for the tour. And I'm just super happy and proud to be the part of this team and of this journey. No, I'm not going to cry. Thank you, Zeba. But thank you, everybody.
That was Tadej Pogacar yesterday after he captured his second yellow jersey as the winner of the Tour de France. And that drops up the July 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. Thank you for tuning in. Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.